Amen. When God gave that man those words and that melody, if he could have had any idea how many times that song would be sung, what a blessing it would be to God's people. Praise the Lord. All right, let's turn the Bibles to Romans. Romans chapter 1 and Romans chapter 16. Several verses to look at this morning. Romans 1. And Romans chapter 16, we have been trying to just ever so briefly compare what the Bible says about God the Creator, and without spending too much time wallowing about in the mud, comparing and contrasting what the Bible says about God the Creator to Darwin's man-made lie of evolution. And while it's very evident and very clear that from the Bible that God created the heavens and the earth, and while there is no clear evidence anywhere on the earth for an evolutionary process of any kind, the main thing that we have seen and learned from our Bible is that the teaching of evolution, as opposed to the teaching that there is a true and living God to whom we are all accountable, is directly responsible for all of the social ills that you lament. The confusion about male and female is settled in Genesis if you believe in creation. The confusion about marriage and the definition of marriage is settled if you understand and believe what God said in the first chapters of Genesis about the family and the home. The Bible says that murder and kidnapping and assault and all of these things are the result of people not believing in a God. And so we have seen that this teaching of evolution, as opposed to teaching that God is the Creator, is not just a social or a spiritual issue, it's a social issue. It's not just a doctrinal matter, it's a moral matter. It affects the lives of every one of our neighbors and our fellow citizens. If you don't believe there's a God, you have no hope. If you don't believe there's a God, you're nothing but an animal. If you believe Darwin's theory of survival of the fittest, then you have 500 million years of genetic programming telling you to kill your neighbor and take his stuff. That's how your ancestors survived from the amoeba to the college professor, was by killing off the weaker species. And so we reject all of that. We believe the Bible. We believe it to be the Word of God. And we read in Romans chapter 1, and once again in verse number 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." They hold it, they just don't like it. They know what the Bible teaches, they just don't agree with it, they just don't believe in it. I was in an airport in Norfolk, and they got a big advertising campaign there, and they are recruiting people from all over the world to work in a business, and the purpose of this business is to provide translators for companies and individuals so you can do business all over the world without having to know the language. And the name of the company is Unibabel. Now, how is it that unsaved people running a worldwide company know that the reason they can't communicate with each other is because of Babel? See, they got it right in their hand. When Charles Manson died a few weeks ago, all the reprobates put out headlines in their newspapers and websites that Charles Manson went to hell. That's a funny thing. I thought you didn't believe in hell. I thought you didn't believe in judging people. I thought you didn't believe in a place like that. But they got it right there in the hand. They just don't think it's right. We have it right in our hand, and we agree with it, and we believe it. We believe what God said. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him, the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Now, we're not going to get into any of this reviewing what we've already talked about. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves, except to say this one little thing, then we'll get to our message this morning. If it's true, what science tells us, and we're supposed to just accept at face value everything science tells us, but if it's true what science tells us, all of us and all that you're sitting upon and all that you're surrounded by is made up of atoms, which are made up of protons and neutrons and electrons. And they're these little things that are invisible to the naked eye of every single one of us. So if that's true, everything you see is composed of things you cannot see. It took science 6,000 years and several trillions of dollars to come to that conclusion, or you could read it in Romans 1:20. Everything that is visible is made up of that which is invisible according to the Bible. So we don't have to wait for science to come out with some pronouncement that they'll change 5 years later to find out what we believe. We have the truth written in this book, and it doesn't have to be changed because it's never disproven. Our beliefs don't rise and fall with the current, whoever got a grant to study this or that last week and overruled what that guy studied with his grant the week before. We just stick with the book, and here's why. Because the Bible says even his eternal power and Godhead. His eternal power and Godhead. Matter is not eternal. Earth is not eternal, wind is not eternal, water is not eternal, fire and sky are not eternal. God is eternal. By its definition, eternal is without beginning or end of existence. In the beginning, God. See, he's eternal, and then you have a beginning. God predates the beginning. He's eternal. And the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away. Not God. Not God. The Bible says the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And all the things that you could see and all the things that you couldn't see will be dissolved by God. And then God will start it over again. He's eternal. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. Everything in between came from him, by him, for him. So he's the supreme, the superior one, should be in every thought and every song and every word and every deed and every life. The eternal Godhead. Eternal, by definition, is perpetual, ceaseless, continued without intermission. God's never taken a break from being God. God's never needed a vacation to rest up. God's never turned the thing over to someone else to run it for a while he took care of some medical issues. God Almighty has been love from the beginning, grace from the beginning, power from the beginning, mercy from the beginning, life from the beginning, and there's never been any point in time where God took a step back and let the Greeks be in charge, or the Romans be in charge, or the Americans be in charge. He's God. He's God, his eternal power and Godhead. And then eternal means, by definition, existing at all times without change. Praise the Lord. Who he was in Genesis, he is in Revelation. Who he was when he walked this earth in a body of flesh, he is right now. Who he was when he dealt with Abraham, when he dealt with Isaiah, when he dealt with John the Baptist, when he dealt with your forefathers, that's who he is right now. Right now, the modern church trying to come up with a new God. Nothing wrong with the old one. Right. Nothing wrong with the one we've had all these years. The world wants a God that's more suited to their politically correct tastes. You have to invent one, but he won't last long. You'll need another one next generation. You need another one the generation after that. But the real God, the true God, he doesn't change. He doesn't change, doesn't need to change. He's perfect in all his ways. Now, Romans 16 says this. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 26. The book begins and ends with this idea. Romans 16, start at verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. On the back wall are two maps. One is a map of the United States of America. Has 50 states on it. How many of you knew that? 50 states in the United States of America. And every one of those states has the same God, one God and only God. They may not recognize Him, they may not believe in Him, but He is the one God for all those people. Right next to it is a map of the world. And there's a number of countries on that map. You say, how many? Well, that changes from time to time. They redraw some lines and they change some borders and move some things around. But I can tell you this, from one end of that world to the other, every one of those people has one God, the same God. They're accountable to that God. He's got a gospel for every one of them. It's one gospel. It's Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. There isn't a God for the Chinese man, a God for the Russian man, a God for the African man, a God for the South American man. There's one God. There's one God, and He'll last forever. Amen. He'll outlast the Huns. He'll outlast the Mayans. He'll outlast you. He'll outlast me. He'll be God. He's always been God. He'll always be God. And what this world wants is they want something less than that. If they can worship something or adore something that is temporary, if they can worship something or adore something that is as restricted or crippled by time, that allows them in their vain imaginations to elevate themselves. If they worship nature, they can dam up nature's waters. They can harness nature's sunshine. They can intervene in nature's attempts to get rid of its weaker species. And they can point the turtle toward the moon instead of toward the streetlight. And look at us, we're controlling our God. How important must we be? The trouble with that is, no matter, you might have a couple of decades of environmental activism, but then you get crippled and you get old and you die. You're not everlasting. The turtles aren't everlasting. The sea cows aren't everlasting. The sun and the moon that men have worshipped in their vanity for centuries are not everlasting. God is everlasting. You ought to worship something that's going to last. People don't want to worship something that is superior in power to them. Now, they want whatever they worship. They want it to be able to come and fix their problems if they have them. But they don't want the object of their worship to govern or control them. And that's what they find objectionable about the God of the Bible. I'm okay with that. If He created the heavens and the earth by His power and sent His Son to die for me because He loved me so much, He can tell me what to do and what not to do. I figure He's been around long enough to know better how to handle this life than I am. So I just trust Him and follow Him and try to do what He says. I think that's a safe way to live. 1 Timothy chapter 1. We've got a lot of verses to look at this morning, and that's okay. It's okay. A lot of people go to church for a year and don't get five verses. So we'll try to load you up this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 17. Verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, not subject to death, invisible, the only wise God. Well, there you go. So I've got a different God. Yeah, but He's dumb. Our God's the only wise God. Be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, He's the King, but He's the King eternal. He's not the King until death takes Him off the throne. He's not the King until some rival overthrows Him. He's not the King until a military coup. He's not the King until the plague comes through the country. He's the King eternal. He sits upon the throne of His glory today, as He sat upon the throne of His glory in the endless ages of the past, and as He will sit upon the throne of His glory in the endless ages to come. If you've got Jesus Christ the Lord as your King, you've got the right King. You've got the long-term King. You've got the never-to-be-replaced King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the King eternal. Now, look what people want. Look at verse 16. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern of them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now you know what you want? You want everlasting life. You know what the people of this world want? They want everlasting life. You know what the religions of the world suggest they might be able to offer in some way, shape, or form? Everlasting life. How are you going to get everlasting life from a source that is not everlasting? If you want life that lasts forever, you can't get it from nature. Nature had a starting point. Nature has an end point. You can't get it from the fowls or the birds or from becoming one with the other creatures in the forest. They're going to die. They have an expiration date. You want everlasting life? You need an everlasting God. You want eternal life? You want an eternal God. There's only one place to get that. That's the God of the Bible. Hallelujah. He is called eternal as the Father in Genesis 21:33. He's called eternal as the Son in 1 John 5:11. He's called eternal as the Spirit in Hebrews 9:14. If the Father's eternal, the Son's eternal, the Spirit's eternal, then we have one God. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. We believe in a Trinity. Always have, always will, because that's what the Word of God says. But look at Psalm number 90. Let's go there, our next stop together. Psalm number 90. God is eternal. By its definition, God does not change. If He was ever love, He's always love. If He was ever wrath, He's always wrath. If He was ever mercy and judgment, He's always those things. Psalm 90, verse number 1. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Now, a generation, that's life. To generate is to give life. If you're born again, you've been regenerated, a second life. So, if there was ever life generated, God was God when life was generated. What, people say, well, where'd the angels come from? God. Where'd the cherubim and seraphim come from? God. Where'd the man come from? God. You say, well, how'd all that come about? We don't know all of that. We couldn't know all of that. We couldn't grasp all of that if God tried to tell us. Here's what we know. If there's anything that was generated, God was there to do it. He's the Lord. He's been our dwelling place in all generations before. Look at it. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. How about that? Those mountains aren't accidental chance collisions of inanimate molecules, and there wasn't some explosion in the depths of the heated chemicals that came from nowhere that suddenly turned into life. What a bunch of nonsense! Science is supposed to be provable, verifiable, reproduced by experiment over and over again. I want the experiment that brought life from non-life. I want the experiment that brought animate from inanimate. It violates every rule and principle of true science to say that life came from rocks and that rocks came from nothing. That's not science. That's mythology. That's legend. That's somebody wanting to get rid of God. Why would you want to get rid of God? He's the only hope you got. The Bible says here in verse number 3, Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. See that? Because He's God. If you sin, He'll destroy you. But He doesn't want to destroy you, so He gives you a way to come to Him and be saved. He's your destroyer and He's your Savior. You're going to have to deal with God. You're going to have to deal with Him about your sin. You're going to have to deal with Him to get life. Verse number 4 says, For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. How about that? You know, it's incredible to me. Doesn't it seem like it was just December? I mean, here it is, December. A year, it's gone. It's gone. Why? It's been 9 years since you declared the end of America with the election of Obama. That was 9 years ago. It's been 17 years ago that the world was going to collapse with the turn of the new 100-year, new century. It goes by like that. And yet God says, you know what? I'm out here. I've been around so long. 1,000 years to me was like Saturday afternoon to you. It's nothing. It's nothing. We say, man, the days are going by fast. God says, 1,000 years are going by fast. That seemed like we just made Adam a week ago. Amen. Listen, you want life that lasts forever? Why are you trying to get it in a pill or a powder or a potion or a gym or a meditation or a yoga class or a magic herb or a religion? Why don't you get it from an eternal God? He's got the power. Bible says in verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. If you've made it 70 years, it's because you live in the good old USA and God's been good to you. If you make it to 80, it's because you've eaten so many processed foods that your body can't die. It's trying to, but it just can't. We're so full of formaldehyde, we just stay propped up. Look, here's what God said. You meet someone 80 years, and that's supposed to be really impressive for the duration and span of that life. If you talk to them about their life, they'll talk about funerals and troubles and heartaches and difficulties and broken bones and tragedies. And they say, why don't you look to God? Why don't you look to God? Thousands and thousands of years are a blink of an eye with God. Why do we look to man for his wisdom and man for his explanation of things and man for his reasoning to try and get us around the Bible? Why would you want to get around the Bible? Why would you want to get away from the one that can offer you a hope beyond a nursing home? Well, do this, and you can live 5 more years. That's it. Do this and you can be healthy for 6 more years. God says, do this and you can live forever. With no sin, no sorrow, no pain, no death, and all your tears wiped away. And people make fun of God while ordering the next miracle product. So sad. So sad. Job 36. The best you can offer me is an extension that'll get me to 80. God offers me everlasting life. If you get me to 80, you cannot, you can promise me my hair will rejuvenate, my skin will lose all of its age spots and wrinkles, my joints and muscles will flex again. I ain't buying it. Everybody running those ads is in their 30s. Would you like fresh skin like this? Get this pill. Put your grandmother on there. I don't want to see you selling me the pill. Put your great aunt. Not buying it. God will give you everlasting life because He's an everlasting God. He's eternal. Job 36, look at verse number 24. Remember that thou magnify his work, which men behold. Every man may see it. Man may behold it afar off. Behold, God is great. Now let's stop right there. Because the atheist says God is nowhere. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. The Christian puts his hand right in between, moves apart, says, God is now here. N-O-W-H-E-R-E. Same letters. It just depends on whether or not you want to put God in there. Can you not look at that anthill? Can you not look at those flowers? Can you not look at those bees pollinating those flowers? Can you not look at that tree? Can you not look at those birds flying in those trees? You don't see God? You look at the car and you say, well, that's made by Ford. You look at the coffee machine. You say that's made by Keurig. You look at the restaurant. You say that's built by such construction company. And you look at the marvel of these plants and these animals and these birds and these fish and these waters, and you don't think somebody made that? Why do you give glory to man for the stuff he makes that breaks down before the warranty, or well, the day after the warranty runs out? They got that figured out. And you can't look at what doesn't fall apart in thousands and thousands of years, and you can't give a little glory to the one that made that? It's because they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Everything had a maker. Everything had a creator. But they look at what God made and say, that's an accident. Your house wasn't an accident. Your car wasn't an accident. Your clothes weren't an accident. The food you're eating wasn't an accident. The plates it's sitting on wasn't an accident. How come you think this great, glorious creation was an accident? Because you can't afford to believe in God. He'd make you repent of your sin. That's all it is. Verse 26 says, behold, God is great, and we know him not. Neither can the number of his years be searched out. That's it. You apply for something and say, what's your date of birth? Ask God. God, what's your date of birth? Are you kidding? I gave birth to the days. There was no day on which for me to be born. I made the sun, I made the moon, I made the stars, I made the evening and the morning, and I said, that's the first day. That's the first day. God's back before that. And one day, he's going to send an angel down, and he's going to put one foot on the land, one foot on the sea, and going to raise his hand and say, that's it. Time should be no more. Shut her down. That's God. Now, why wouldn't you come to him? You want to stay alive? I know you do. You want to live as long as you can? I know you do. You want the best possible health and the best possible future and the best possible retirement? Why don't you come to God? He's eternal. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter number 5. These poor kids, man, they go off to these schools and they tell them they're an animal. They go off to these schools, they tell them there's nothing in the future for them but a hole in the ground. And then they tell them, don't do drugs. Well, why wouldn't you do something to get you through a miserable life like this? This is all there is. Be nice to your neighbor. Why should I be nice to my neighbor? I'm trying to evolve. I'm trying to be the fittest and survive and take his stuff before he takes mine. You can't teach evolutionary animal theory and then say, go out and be nice. There's nothing in the evolutionary ladder that was ever nice. You can't put kids in that ladder and then say, be nice. Why would I be nice? You don't survive that way. Only the strong survive. All that stuff. Amen. Bible. We're going to stay with the Bible. Romans chapter 5. Now watch this. Romans 5, verse 21. That is, sin hath reigned unto death. That's why people die. Sin. It's sin. Even so might grace reign through righteousness, look at this, unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, the Darwinian cannot offer you eternal life because they have nothing eternal. Religion cannot offer you eternal life. They have nothing eternal. We have an eternal God. And by virtue of the righteousness of that eternal God, you can have an offer of eternal life. It's wonderful. I went to university. I've studied at 7-8 universities now. And university, see, the universe. This is the place where you can come and acquire all learning and all knowledge in all fields. Every course in that catalog has to do with time limitations. They have not one course that can teach you how to have eternal life eternal salvation, eternal joy, eternal happiness. It's not a universal education. They're leaving something out. If you leave God out, I can only get you to the grave. If you put God in there, we can take you on out into eternity. Everlasting life. Praise the Lord. The dear folks at NASA, bless their heart. I appreciate all the jobs they have provided and will continue to provide, but bless their hearts. They want to send some men. They sent some men out into the space, first space, sky space, and they came back and they didn't find a source of life. And so they sent them up into second space and they didn't find the source of life. And they sent them up to the moon. And they looked around. They didn't find a source of life up there. Wasn't even any cheese up there. What a disappointment! And they came back, and then now they want to send men farther out into space to see where life came from, but they can't figure out a way to keep them alive long enough to find out where life originated. That's a pretty dead-end road, wouldn't you say? Somewhere out there we can find the source of life, but we can't live long enough to get there. Now you know what the Bible says? The source of life from out there came down here to give it to you. People don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They'll spend a gazillion dollars to get some rocks and bring them home and look at the rocks and see if maybe this is the rock the life came out of. You knuckleheads. You won't find any rock in the universe that life came out of. How unscientific can you be? Let's get all the scientists in the world to go get some rocks and see if we can find the rock that the life came out of. If every one of those guys went honest, they'd say, how are we going to sell this to the public? Anybody with a brain knows that life doesn't come out of a rock. We taught them that. Yeah, but if we just put out some documentaries with some music in the background and wave the flag, they'll buy anything. Why are you looking for life when life is looking for you? Why are you searching to find out where you came from when God put it in your heart the day you opened your eyes? You came from God. And if you will allow Him to save your soul, you can go and spend eternity with God. It's so simple. It's so easy. It's so full of hope. It's so full of joy. It's such a contrast to that vain search for nothing. Romans chapter 6 says this. Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How about that? We're about to enter into the... There's a song. It's the most frustrating time of the year. Because people are going to go out and buy things they can't afford for people they don't like. And then as they sit around exchanging gifts, they're going to be disappointed because the wow that they got when someone opened the present that they bought them is going to fade away 15 minutes later when someone else opens a gift that they got them, and it's a double wow. You lose. You lose. There was an ad on the airport the other day, and it said, give the gift they'll open last. In other words, don't waste your money on all that other trash that they're not going to really like. You got to win. I won. I got them the best present that they liked the most. I'm the champion for the year. Didn't you get enough stuff last year? Didn't you say this was the best Christmas ever? Didn't you say I got everything on my list? And here we are, 365 days later, and you can't even remember what you got. It was what you wanted more than anything else in the world. Yeah, what was it? I can't remember. Because it doesn't last. The thrill doesn't last. The joy doesn't last. The thing you got doesn't last. And God, he just, day after day after day, you drive down the road and there's a bumper sticker on a car in front of you. You drive through this town and there's somebody holding a sign. You go to work and somebody offers you a piece of paper with some words on it. Every single day God says, I want to give you something that you'll never grow tired of. I want to give you something that is better than every gift you've ever received. I want to give you something with no expiration date. I want to give you something with no strings attached. I want to give you everlasting life. And it seems the one thing you can't interest the public in receiving. How sad. They did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Sorry, I didn't mean to depress you. The greatest gift is not under a tree. It hung on a tree. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ. Deuteronomy 33. I know, I get you thinking about that person you have to buy a present for that you don't like. Shouldn't have done that. Deuteronomy 33. Deuteronomy chapter 33. You know, if you put a Bible verse on the back of your car, people will sneer at you and call you a fanatic as they pass you with artificial reindeer antlers sticking out their windows and a red fuzz ball in the front of their car. But we're weird. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, this morning, you can rest in the arms of science, but they won't hold you forever. You can rest in the arms of medicine. You can rest in the arms of diet. You can rest in the arms of religion. But they can only carry you to the cemetery. There are some arms that would be very glad to embrace you. You know, if you're under, if the everlasting arms are underneath, that means somebody's holding you right next to their heart. Wouldn't you like to be held by everlasting arms? Instead of withering arms, failing arms, you ought to come to God. Amen. Stop running from Him. Stop hiding from Him. Stop objecting to Him. He's eternal. He's everlasting. And nothing else that you have but your soul is going to last forever. One last verse, Isaiah 26. If you're new to the church or visiting with us, I hope you notice where all of our information is coming from. The Holy Bible, the Word of God. We don't need any more, well, I think, what do you think, well, he thinks, well, they think. We want to know what the Bible says. Word of the Lord is right. The Bible says in Isaiah 26 and verse number 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. I'm not going to get in a debate with you about it one way or the other. But suppose that you went off to school 20 years ago, and you were taught that you were an evolutionary byproduct, that you are a chance accident of nature. And you believe that. And so you got rid of God, and you got rid of hope, and you got rid of joy, and you got rid of commandments, and you got rid of righteousness, and now it's just you and the nature from which you came. And suddenly, your mother, the earth, is being polluted. And you want to save your mother. But there's 4 billion people in China who don't want to save your mother. You came from the water and you want to save the water. But you can tax Americans to save their water. You can't tax the people in India to save the Ganges from being one giant sewer pipe out in the ocean. So you're in despair. And so you get in a jet airplane and you fill the air with carbon to go and have a meeting to find out how you can stop carbon from filling the air. Because your mother's getting hotter and hotter and hotter. And if your mother overheats, your mother could have a catastrophe. And you know she's dying. You know that her ice cap that she wears to bed at night is melting. You know that the ice around her feet is thawing out. You know that your mother might drown in the next 50 years. If that's your hope, if that's your religion, what are you going to do? Well, we'll take over California, we'll pass laws, and we'll say you can't cut down any trees or any bushes because it harms our mother, and then she catches on fire. And you can't put out her fire. And then you run news articles, not about hoorah, the people escape, but oh no, the bunnies burned. Because they're your siblings. People are sitting on their roof waiting for rescue after a hurricane and a boat goes by with three dogs in it. Because they're your cousins. Listen, you can understand the despair if all you have is material and temporal and it's dying. But we have a God and is eternal. And if one planet died or all the planets died, He could remake the whole thing in 6 days. It's no big deal. Oh, the planet's dying? Watch this. New heavens, new earth. How's that? That's God. We're not against science. We are, 1 Timothy 6, we're against science falsely so-called. We're against theories devised by men who don't want God. And it leaves them hopeless. It leaves them in despair. It leaves them without joy. It leaves them without satisfaction. But there's a God who wants to put His everlasting arms underneath you and hold you close to Him for time and for eternity. Hallelujah. Wouldn't you rather have the gift of God, which is eternal life, than just go on hoping that they find some cure for what? Because nobody's talking about finding a cure for death. Cancer maybe, AIDS maybe, you know, this disease, that disease, but there'll be one more coming. There's a lot of trains on that car. And you detach one from the rest of the, you're just going to hook up back of the rest of it, going down the track. Wages of sin is death, and you've sinned. But the gift of God is eternal life. And you can have it through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm so much more content having an eternal God than a dead Darwin. Hallelujah. Father, bless Your word this morning to our hearts. We pray if there be one among us that does not know the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, we pray, God, that You would show them the difference between a God that is everlasting, and all these material things that are sure to crumble and decay round about us. Thank You, Father, for this blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand and sing number 32. If you're not saved, you can be this morning. Come while we sing. Let somebody introduce you to the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christians, let's sing God's praise. He's worthy. Number 32.